Des Moines. Now, today's biggest stories from the BMW of Des Moines Sports Desk. This is an X's and O's update on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
And I'm Trent Condon. Craig Kimbrell will be added to the Chicago Cubs roster today. Kimbrell completed his minor league assignment with the Iowa Cubs, allowing one run and two hits in 3 2/3 innings pitched. To Omaha in the College World Series, Game 3 for the title between Michigan and Vanderbilt.
Center field, DeMarco, there to make the catch, anchored down, Vanderbilt on top of the college baseball world again.
The call from ESPN as Vanderbilt wins it 8-2. To Major League Baseball, Battle of the Sox, White Sox and Red Sox, and Jose Abreu goes deep again.
Jose drills it, deep left field toward the monster, and the White Sox lead.
White Sox win it 8-7 on the call from NBC Sports Chicago. To Minnesota, the Twins down 4-3 in the seventh inning. Nelson Cruz to the plate with the bases loaded.
A drive to the gap in left center. Kiermaier's over. He won't get there. It'll clear the bases. And Nelson Cruz brings down the house.
Dick Bremer with the call. Fox Sports North in a 6-4. Twins win. Twins back at it today, 12-10 against the Rays. Cubs host the Braves, 120 with the first pitch. And Milwaukee looks to solve Seattle, 110 with the first pitch. CIML baseball scoreboard from last night. Ankeny Centennial scores a combined 42 runs in a doubleheader sweep against Ames, 17-6 and 25-1. Top-ranked Johnston sweeps Dowling, 3-2 and 6-1. Southeast Polk with the split against Mason City. Sixth-ranked Roosevelt with the sweep against Des Moines East. And Ankeny and Urbandale split a pair. Tonight, high school baseball on 1460 KXNO. It'll be Southeast Polk on the road at West Des Moines Valley, 7 o'clock with the first pitch. That comes your way right after Barnstormers Weekly. As the voice of the Barnstormers, Joe Stacey, and head coach Dixie Wooten, get ready for playoff football. Stay up to date at KXNO.com and all day on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
Live from the Wild Rose Casino and Resort Jefferson Studios, you'd rather be here. This is 1460 KXNO. Ken Miller, Trent Condon. They are Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome in. It's Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. Glad you're with us. Hope you can stay with us. We are here for the next couple of hours talking sports with you on Des Moines Sports Station. After all, a busy show coming up on the program today. Going to chat, first of all, with Mark Morehouse. Bottom of the hour for Mark, Cedar Rapids Gazette. Anxious to find out what he learned and what some of the media members who were invited to a media-only event at the University of Iowa, as they got to look behind the curtain as to, well, we'll find out from Mark. I'm kind of in the dark as to what went on. I'm kind of in the dark that Iowa actually was the one behind this event. Mm-hmm. That's this to me, and good to see you, by the way.
You too. Welcome back.
Thank you.
We missed you.
I miss being here. Look, I'm too old for back-to-back-to-back nights in Las Vegas. I love sitting in a sports book, you know, drinking beers, watching games. I can't bet at the ones. I stay at the Palms place. So I can't bet, which is probably a good thing.
I didn't give you any winners.
Yeah, I looked at your picks. You were 2-1 one night. You gave me four. Did the other one flame out?
I think I made just barely plus money because I had like a plus 130 money line, something
like
that. Yeah,
I think you had the bet against the Cardinals. I think that was one of your ones. Anyways, it's just, like, it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I always love doing it.
You like people watching.
I do. I like people watching. I like drinking beer, and I like watching the games, and there's just so many of them on. It's a fun, fun, fun place to be. But, you know, again, 60s kind of getting, kind of pushing the envelope a little bit. I don't mean to sound like I got one foot in a grave, but.
You weren't out at the clubs either.
No, it wasn't. But you know what it got me, I think, Trent? It was the back-to-backers. Mm-hmm. You know, the Chicago come home, literally swap out a suitcase and get right back to the airport and get on a plane.
Yeah.
And that got me a little bit. I will say this, for you Hawkeye fans that are going out, what do they call it, the Thanksgiving Classic, the basketball tournament at the Orleans?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If you want to stay on the Strip, of course, more power to you. Mm-hmm. But if you don't, I found this place, Palms Place it's called. It's not the Palms Hotel. It's the condominium tower.
Gotcha.
I mean, I have a full-size fridge, washer, dryer, two bathrooms. For the same prices you spend on the Strip, you can cook your, if you want,
mm-hmm.
two TVs. And you're literally, I don't know, three blocks from the Orleans Arena.
Maybe. You can walk.
You can walk. And Uber's $6, $8, $7 to the strip if you want to get down there. So if you're a Hawkeye fan, maybe a little bit of a tip. But don't tell too many people because I want to be able to get into this place when I want. I've stayed there the last number of times.
Creighton, Texas Tech also going to be
pretty good lineup because Creighton, I saw Doster yesterday, his top 25 came out, and he's got Creighton 20 toward the bottom of the top 25, but he's got him in there. Of course, Texas Tech's going to be good again. And Joe Lunardi, his bracketology came out today. By the way, he's got three teams from the state of Iowa making the dance.
Drake?
Nope. Panthers. Got the Panthers winning the Valley tournament.
Okay.
Panthers.
Don't see that. He's got both Iowa and Iowa State as six seeds.
Six seeds, yes. I don't know.
Seems like
he's
a
right.
Huge stretch.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care if he gets the seed right. I just hope that he gets them in the event.
Yes.
I don't know. We'll see. Obviously, lots of ground to cover before we get to that. But as we sit here toward the end of June, I'm with you, Trent. It doesn't seem like either of these. If I had to, maybe Iowa State leans a little bit. Iowa, man, the Bohannon thing's a blow.
Absolutely.
There's no getting around that. So Mark Morehouse is going to come up. And again, where I started to say, Trent, you know how the University of Iowa's been for so many years.
Yes.
They hired a public relations firm, locally based public relations firm, to handle some of the, for sure, the football stuff.
And that's mostly what it was.
It was Al Setka, and I don't think he's still with that firm.
Okay.
He was the one that would, you know, if he thought that Iowa needed their football message out, he would reach out, well, in this building's case, to Murph and Andy. When I was up to dial, he would find us, not as often as he'd come on here, obviously, but that's how that was facilitated. But when I saw the news that the Iowa media went to essentially football school, got a peek behind the curtain as to, you know, what Ferentz is thinking, what Parker is thinking, what Kirk Ferentz is thinking, I thought, that's really cool. But I want to know whose idea this was.
Absolutely.
Because that person deserves a raise. This is so un-Iowa-like. Now, look, this is my 24th year of doing this now.
Yeah.
We just passed that threshold. This has changed for the better.
There's no doubt. I mean, they are out in front of things. This kind of event is something that would be just unthinkable in past years.
Not too long ago, Trent.
It was interesting. So I had an opportunity last night to host Hawk Central with Chad from the Register, Chad Lystico, and I talked to him a little bit about it. He said there are a lot of the things that were off the record, things that they can't put in articles, things like that.
Yeah.
We'll kind of dive a little bit deeper into that with Mark. And he said there's also parts of it because it was talking to Phil Parker and breaking down schemes and what they do and the reasons behind it. Same thing with Brian Ferentz. And when they were going through those, it was over a lot of those guys' heads. I mean, they know football. They know sports. We all know sports at a certain level, but you're taking an advance college class here all of a sudden.
This is how you're seeing how the sausage is made.
And you have prerequisites and that's about it. All of a sudden you're going to a 400 level class and you should be at about a 100 level class.
I think it's a brilliant move, Trent. Now this will go, what does this do? Oh, you're a bunch of dummies, you don't understand the game. How can you talk about it, write about it, opine on it? Okay, I get that. We're going to get always going to get that. But what it does is now when a decision that is made that the fan base can't, pulling their hair out, and they're apoplectic about something, now the media, at least maybe, depending on the circumstances, obviously, have an idea why they decided to go in this particular direction.
The philosophies, what they do, zone blocking, something that comes up there, the way they run the football, the way their offense is built, the change defensively to the 4-2-5, all these things that we talk about, we have a baseline for, but that deeper understanding, the reasoning, the justification behind it. It's not just...
Well said.
You're just not sitting there, you're not playing PlayStation, and you're just calling plays on a screen.
Right.
There's actually more that goes into it than just that. And now you have that background. You understand the reasoning for it.
Who was behind this? That's my biggest takeaway from this whole thing. If that is an internal person, it made a great hire. Why haven't you given this person more responsibilities until 2019? Or, I don't know. Have you ever heard of this anywhere else? I haven't.
I
haven't.
Think of anything. No, and certainly not at a local level.
No, certainly not local, but I don't know. And maybe it does go on nationally, and you know, why would we know about it? But
right.
Whoever came up with it, brilliant move. So Mark Morehouse, 10:30. Excited to have our yearly visit with Phil Steele. Trent
yes.
and I are both disciples of Phil Steele's College Football Magazine. It's on sale everywhere as of this week, right? I think Wednesday, what's today, Thursday? Earlier in the week, anyways, it hit the newsstands. We got an advanced copy a couple of weeks ago, so we've been having it in front of us to help us recall, quite honestly, some of the teams. And so Phil Steele's going to join us. We'll do a lot on Iowa and Iowa State and the Big 12 and the Big 10, particularly the Big 10 West with Phil Steele. He joins us right at 11 o'clock. That's going to be a good piece, I hope. And then I know David Kaplan's a good piece because we've already taped it. It's Thursday, normally Wednesday. Thank you for allowing Cappy to move. You know
of
how
course.
I am with Cappy. I want to talk to Cap every week, and I wasn't going to be a part of yesterday's show. So we got Cappy this morning at about 8:35. As we mentioned, Kimball is back up there. Tony Barnett, I believe, is the corresponding move. He's been sent back, and he's looked okay in the couple of time opportunities I've seen him. Now, nobody saw the Cubs last night. I guess maybe it was on if you know the antenna thing.
Sure, yep.
I just didn't want to go back downstairs to the office. But they were blacked out. Allowed me to see your Twins, mm-hmm. which is always, you know, that if there is a saving grace, it's, all right, Cubs are blacked out. I'm going to watch the Twins because
so
they're moving the needle too.
That's second for you.
Yeah, I just think the Cubs, there's a bigger fan base. I'm wrong.
We don't like the Cardinals television broadcasts, either of us.
I don't. I'll watch the Cardinals when it's the Brewers.
The Royals are okay.
Yeah,
but they're so bad.
They stink. And Benetti's really good.
Yes.
I mean, this White Sox team, too. How about them beating up on Chris Sale yesterday?
That was awesome. It really was. Jumped on him right away.
Yes.
And Sale afterwards, he still had 10 strikeouts in the game, but he was talking about how he just can't pitch at Fenway. Well, probably not a great thing to say, right?
Yeah, no, you Darvish can't pitch at Wrigley. I'm sure that's well, it did come up with Cappy in our conversation. Cappy's going to join us about 11:25 or thereabouts. So a lot of ground to cover, Trent. Missed a couple of shows, wanted to talk about Contreras, but that's 48 hours old now. Doesn't make any sense. Kevin Keatsman in Kansas City, his boneheaded, what he said is just egregious and should be taken off the air. But you know he owns the station, right?
Oh, I did not
know
that. Yeah,
and that's the big deal. Kevin Keatsman, is it 810?
Yes. Yeah.
He either owns it outright or he owns a significant chunk of the radio station. So if you, like most of us, think that he crossed the line and that would have been a fireable offense, then that's, if that's not a fireable offense. I mean, I know I get the F-bomb things and, and obviously, you know, the world is changing, but what he said about Andy Reid, my good God, but that's old news. But yes, he does own a chunk of the radio station, which probably is going to keep his spot.
Yeah, you would think so.
Right? I mean, are you going to fire yourself?
No.
I'm going to suspend myself for a couple of days. It's the last week of June. Maybe come back after the week after the 4th. Served my suspension. It's all good. He owns the station, for crying out loud. All right. So, anyways, your Twins last night. I thought Baldelli in the 7th inning, it worked out well. But I was surprised, and I don't know if you were watching at that point, the Tampa had taken the lead. Boy, the balls were flying out to center field last night.
They were.
Whew.
Yes.
Really were. That was a good pitching matchup, too.
It was.
My guy, Charlie Morton, your guy, Oda Rizzi, that was pretty good.
And two guys that are in the conversation with Giolito to be the American League starter in the All-Star game.
Yeah, that guy in Houston's not bad either.
Yeah. give it to the old guy.
Yeah, Verlander, right? He deserves, who knows? But yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point, both of them in that conversation. I don't know how Tampa does it. I mean, other than Kiermaier and center.
Who is a great defender.
Yes.
An okay stick.
Right, right. Didn't he hit one? He hit one out last night, though, did he, early in the game? Did he hit the first? Yeah, he was 3-0 early. And then did he make it 3-2 with a bomb? I think he did.
Yes, yeah.
But, boy, what a bunch of no-name players on that team.
Tommy Pham.
Yeah.
We've seen Cardinals. Tommy.
Yeah.
We've seen Tommy Pham.
Mm-hmm.
He's not, never looked as good as he looks here.
No.
Lowe? Who's this dude?
That's not how you say his name either.
Is it Lau?
Lau. Is it somebody? It was weird. I mean, it's Lowe. You would think it's Lowe all day long. Right,
right.
But yeah, apparently.
I mean, Austin Meadows was a big prospect, but for the most part, that's the other thing. We're not talking about a group of, they have three of the top 10 prospects in baseball, and here they come.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what this is.
No, I don't know how they're doing it.
Off the scrap heap and. Yeah. They're good.
Yeah, no, they are good. Fun. Now, they'll play. We've got a lot of day baseball today.
We do.
Cubs finish up their series with the Bravos. By the way, this Atlanta team, I tried to tell you, buy some stock in this team back in April.
I sold it. I said, it's So many times we see young teams take that big step.
And they did last year and then come back.
And then take a step backwards the following year. And then after that, they're kind of all systems go. That has not been the case at all. This team has played a bit of a slow start, but watching them now, you know, over these the couple of games.
And they ran away and hid with the East last year, don't forget.
They did, yeah. They just top to bottom. The numbers, Ronald Acuna.
Yeah, star.
He is already 73rd on the all-time leadoff home run list. He's 21.
Is he really?
He's 21 years old. He's already 73rd on the all-time leadoff home run. I mean, just things like that are ridiculous. This team, top to bottom, the veterans that they brought in, guys off the scrap heap
Josh
again.
Donaldson.
Markakis.
Markakis, another one,
just absolutely
Keuchel now yesterday. He's now 1-1 after he beat Yu Darvish, who has still, this is a crazy stat, he has not won a game at Wrigley Field.
It's unthinkable.
Isn't it unthinkable?
Yeah.
Yu Darvish.
How many starts? 15?
Yeah, because he missed most of the last year, right?
Yes.
So, but still, I mean, this is a guy who paid $126 million, $128 million, and he hasn't won a game in front of the home crowd. His next start will be in July. Think about that.
You can't. You absolutely can't. It's just one of those odd circumstances that pop up. But I mean, until last night, he couldn't get a decision. He was 1-2 and 3 going into it, and it was just no decision after no decision.
He pitched better. I mean, his game at Dodger Stadium, remember the game against the Dodgers when he had that, you know, he wanted to answer those questions to himself, and he looked really good after he flamed out in L.A. after the Rangers traded him a couple of years ago. But, I can't get over this kid. I really and truly can't. Why he can't win.
Looking at the splits, it's, all right, let's see, how many starts has he had this year at home? See if I can find him here. 9 starts this year. Let's take a look at last season, 2018. Because at this point, it's one of just those fluky baseball numbers. He only made 3 starts last year at home, but still, 12 starts.
You got to win one of them for that kind of money. At least you would think, law of averages, he's going to find a way to win one of them.
$25 million a year, can't win a game at home.
It does not make sense. No. All right, so I've been gone. You're going to have to keep me up to speed on this one. Thank God for Twitter. It seemingly every, I don't know, maybe a little bit of an exaggeration. I was going to say every half hour. Maybe it was every hour.
I know you're
either
going.
The Hawks or the Clones were. Now, we knew that it was a big recruiting weekend in Iowa City. Baker's been telling us that for weeks. So, you know, mark this weekend on your calendar. It's going to be a really big weekend in Hawkeye football recruiting. We knew that from our conversations with Halstead and with Montz that Iowa State's got some guys coming in as well. Trent. That was unprecedented, right? The number of commits that both of these programs got in the last 3 days. I've never seen anything like it.
It was just boom, boom, boom. It was guys from different classes, too. It wasn't just the upcoming 2020 class. It was guys from all over the place. It was, you know, some big-name guys, some guys from outside of the area. Just crazy. And to me, probably the biggest one of them was Hunter Deckers, the kid from over in Northwest Iowa at West Sioux. He had been on the camp circuit. He'd been picking up big-time offers. You know, Big 10, Big 12 programs were after him. I think Indiana, Purdue were a couple of the first ones to offer in the Big 10. But Iowa has their quarterback for this class in Deuce Hogan. Iowa State has their quarterback in Bauman.
Right.
So you figured, well, he's going to be shut out in state, and this is going to be a kid that's going to be moving on and looking elsewhere to play collegiately. And then out of nowhere, Iowa State decides, we're going to bring in 2 quarterbacks in this class.
That's great.
And, of course, they talked to Bauman about it. That's what you have to do. That's just the way recruiting goes with quarterbacks anymore. But it's a conversation that needs to be had. He had great things to say. I saw on Twitter he had something. Welcome you know, to the group and excited to have him. These are different kind of quarterbacks. The Deckers kid, I mean, he's thick. He is.
Nate Stanley thick, but not maybe as tall?
He's more Tebow-like.
Okay. I mean,
he's got just that wide body, that thickness to him.
Like the guy who sat beside me on the plane coming over yesterday.
That big guy, huh?
Took in half my chair.
Joel Lanning type. That's what we're looking at here. That physicality element that is brought along with the guy that can chuck the ball around. So he's an interesting one. I didn't see that coming. Like I said, I thought he was going to be moving on, going out of state. Instead, Iowa State comes. So that's the one that
have
that
you seen him play?
On. I've seen highlights.
Okay.
It's against small school competition, too. And that's the other.
So you never saw him at the Dome or anything like that?
No. And I mean, he's 6'2", 215 as a high school quarterback playing 1A football. Oh. You're going to look different.
You're right. You're going to turn some heads.
Yes, yeah. There's no doubt about it. So because of that, and he put up huge numbers as you'd anticipate, but when he went on the camp circuit, he got invited to the Elite 11 and all these different things. He said, whoa, there's really something here. I think he does fit. Certainly Iowa State better than Iowa when you're talking about the in-state schools and what they do, and it seems like there's more flexibility there, a lot more spread elements to what Iowa State does offensively. Fun one. Different, and I'm happy we get to see him stay in state.
Absolutely. Speaking of Iowa State, did you get a chance to read the Athletic? It's so worth it, $2.50 or $3, whatever mm-hmm. it was. State of the program, and we knew Doc to put the I one out there. What's the guy that's? It's not Mitch Sherman. Why can't I think of his name? That's now covering the Big 12 for the. We need to
Trotter?
Run here. Is it Jake Trotter? Jake no, Trotter? It doesn't ring no. a bell.
Max Olson.
That's who it is. Max Olson. Yeah, yes. Max Olson. Really good read on Iowa State. If you're a Cyclone fan, pull the trigger.
Yes.
I mean, I get it that they don't have an assigned writer per se yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're missing the boat there, by the way. I really do. I mean, you know how loyal that fan base is over there. And if they get a Scott Dockerman or, you know, I don't know who it would be that would leave their spot in like a Birchie. I'm not right. pushing yep. them out the door at the register by any means. But if they get an assigned writer to cover Iowa State, they're going to get a bump in subscriptions. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Need a basketball guy for the state? John Bonacamp? Think that would make sense?
I hope he gets a chance.
Yeah.
Is he still doing the blog?
He is, yep, yeah. yep. Still out there. See him at the Bees games all the time. And
but that doesn't put a roof over it. That doesn't pay the bills.
No, not at all. I mean, this is, I'm sure, a placeholder until he finds the next stop and... Hopefully it's a good one for him because he's a good guy.
And he absolutely deserves it, no doubt. So what else did I miss?
Let's see. What else? I'm trying to think. You know, baseball, the new All-Star voting. Have you seen that at all?
I haven't been paying attention one bit. I'm not a big fan of the All-Star game. Well, I like the game. I don't like how we get to that point.
Right. And so because of that, they tried to change it up. So you had the preliminaries. And you get a certain amount of guys that make it in. And then it cuts the field down from the 15, 20 outfielders and, you know, the 10 first basemen.
Oh, they eliminate?
They go down, and then you come to the next round, and that actually started yesterday at 11 o'clock our time when that started.
So they're engaging the MLB fan base. Is that what you're saying?
And I think they're trying to stay away from what we saw the Cubs do a few years ago where just Cubs fans stuffed the ballot, and it was...
Well, they're not the only fan base.
The Royals did that a couple years ago, and that was maybe even more egregious with some of the names that were up there towards the top of the list. So I think that's what they're trying to combat here. All right. You want to vote your guy, he gets in past the preliminaries into the next round, but then when we get to that point, it's going to be a little bit more in-depth. That's the hope, at least, that they're trying to get here, and get the best guys out there. That's, in the end, more than anything, what you want to see. The guys that are most deserving, mm-hmm. play in the All-Star game, regardless of team or affiliation, what the numbers are putting up, how they're doing on the field, that's what you want to see.
And we're, what, about 2 weeks away from the All-Star
yeah,
game somewhere?
Yep.
You know where you and I will be 3 weeks from right now, don't you?
Chicago?
We'll be on Radio Row broadcasting live from Big Ten Media Days.
Wow. 3 weeks.
It's 3 weeks. It's the 18th.
It's flying by.
Absolutely. The Manning Passing Academy starts today. Nate Stanley is there. Boy, they got a list. They got some guys.
Yes.
Trevor Lawrence is there.
It's a great quarterback group in college this year.
Oh, my. From Georgia. He's down there. Kid from South Carolina, Bentley. He's a good player. He's down there. I mean, Nate Stanley's got some. Herbert from Oregon's participating in this thing.
Don't think he's going to be MVP like Alex Hornibrook was a year ago.
You know, I would love to go back and see the list of campers from 18 for Hornibrook to emerge out of that camp as the MVP. That was kind of a shocker. Well, look, you know, when it's all said and done, Trevor Lawrence is going to be the quarterback off of that list of guys that participating in that if the NFL is going to be your barometer, because everyone thinks he is the next great quarterback in the game of football, period.
Seems that way.
Sure does.
What he did against Alabama, I mean, just throttling them.
Yep.
He's got everything that you want. He can move a little bit. He's got the big, strong arm. He had a group of receivers at Clemson a year ago. Now, that's going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
Receiving core is going to be different this
year. Yeah, but Sweeney, the way he's recruiting, I mean, he's won 5-star. He's almost like Alabama. You lose a 5-star, you place him with another 5-star.
Not too bad.
No, it's not. Boy, it's sneaking up on us. It really is. It seems like it's going to be a drag to get to it, but man. And then once it gets here, well, I'm sure you're aware that Lee Sterling called me out of the blue this morning.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
I I saw an email and I hadn't responded until you were getting back. We were going to talk a little bit.
Yeah, we never
he just reached out to you.
He just reached out to me and said, you know, we good to go. And I don't know why not.
Yes, would love to do it.
I do. And Lee Sterling's a good guest and he's prepared. And he's not, like, I'm not a scamdy capper kind of guy. And
sure.
It's a pretty short list of guys that sell their picks for a living that I would have. But I think he's pretty legit.
Right.
You know, I like Lee.
He's above the board.
Yeah,
he's,
I think he is.
He's not selling a bill of goods. Mm-hmm. He has been doing this for a long time.
Right.
It's not just random Joe off the street that happened to go 60% last year. Now he's going to go out and sell his picks.
Right.
Chris Williams. No,
Chris should. Well, not this year. He's going to get crushed.
He is. I can't wait for it. It's going to be appointment radio every Friday to see
he
his picks.
You can't put those numbers back-to-back years. What he did last year is unheard of.
We talked over-unders yesterday with the release of FanDuel's numbers.
Now, what did Iowa come out at? Eight, is it not?
Seven and a half.
Iowa State's eight.
Yes.
Right.
But a lot of
we
them in the Big
Ten.
We have
the same thing, by the way, at CG.
Yeah, same
yeah.
numbers there.
Yeah.
We agreed on a lot of things. I got very nervous.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so Chris was part of yesterday.
Yes, yeah. He was part of the gambling portion after we finished talking with Coach Parker.
Nice. Where's Petey?
He had All-Star duties for Eli. Eli has made the All-Star team on the under-9
awesome.
Little League for
That's
Raccoon
awesome.
River Valley or whatever little league group that he is a part
Good
of.
Good for him.
So they had like a, I think it was a 5 o'clock game or 5:30 game. So we bounced out and I bounced in.
Good. That's good stuff. All right. We are here until noon. Mark Morehouse is coming up next. I want to know who's behind this unprecedented move for the University of Iowa. I mean, they're making coaches available. This is more than just the media. It's the media who then feeds the beast. Every school should do it, I think.
Makes sense.
And if there was one that was going to do it, I would have bet anything. There would have been that school to the north, not to the east. But the school to the east is making some positive PR inroads in my book.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe it either. I can't believe it. This is such a brilliant move on their part. The course aside, whose decision was this? Who was the one that sitting around a conference room? You know, I have an idea.
Call Steve Rowe. He'd know, right?
I think he probably would. Whoever
Your buddy's with Steve.
I am. I got his text number. We worked with Steve Rowe.
Yes.
30 years ago at this time. In fact, it was probably about 30 years ago at this time that Steve Rowe was getting his walking papers.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because, I don't want to, you know, go too far back into history, but 1989, when, like, within a week of I leave my country, leave my job, come here, and these people that hired me, they're all walking the plank one after another. I'm like, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into?
Gonna put your stomach in knots when that's happening.
And Steve Rowe was one of them that he was the media relations person for Prairie Meadows, and realized, you know what, we don't need this. And Steve was out the door and off to the University of Iowa, and it worked out very well for him as he tutored with Phil Hattie, and now it's his department. We will come back. Mark Morehouse, Cedar Rapids Gazette, Miller and Condon. Glad to be back and glad you're with us on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460.
Hawkeyes, Cyclones, Panthers, and Bulldogs. Yeah, we got that covered. This is Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
All right, welcome back, Miller and Condon. Never got into that. We'll talk about that at some point.
All right.
Rolling Stones were unbelievable. We do have some news before we get to Mark Morehouse. The Iowa State UNI kick time has been announced.
Night game again?
No. Early, 11 o'clock in the morning. But, as many are saying, good news, bad news. Bad news is it's 11 o'clock in the morning. It's been picked up nationally. FS1.
Ooh.
FS1 is going to televise Iowa State, Northern Iowa, 11 o'clock on the 31st of August. How about that?
219 on your DirecTV is where you can find FS1. Just a reminder
absolutely.
For everybody.
Yeah, well, remember, we'll find that one. We'll find CBS, whatever that thing
Sports
is,
Network,
221.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, good stuff. Let's get Mark Morehouse in here again. Iowa State, Northern Iowa, the kickoff time has been announced. I wondered why they were dragging their feet on this. Now, here's the other thing. What is Cyclones.tv?
Louisiana Monroe.
You think that'll be the game?
I think that's the game.
Probably so.
Yep.
Mark Morehouse, Cedar Rapids Gazette, joins the program. Hello, Mark. Trent and Ken, how are you?
Good. I'm hanging in there. What is it? What? Basically, 3 more weeks of summer, right?
3 weeks from today, we'll all be in Chicago, Mark.
Don't say that.
You want two? I do.
I'm kidding. I've kind of, Trent and I, when he called in, you guys, that's a big important time for radio people. For print people, it's not as, you know, it's kind of the same old a little
right,
bit every year.
Right.
I think for you guys, you know, that the Big Ten does this Radio Row stuff right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some fans get to kind of go see. It's pretty cool seeing all the Big Ten radio stations in one room, and the coaches and the players going through. Really important time for you guys to get those types of contacts. And hey, maybe one of those people call you back during the season.
Right? Yeah, I doubt it, but at least we've got them cornered in Chicago. Yeah, looking forward to being there. No doubt about that. Well, Mark, I'm anxious to pick your brain on what happened yesterday. A couple of things. I thought it was, I mean, so un-Iowa-like. Whoever came up with this decision, I think that's as big a story as anything. This person deserves a raise because I've never heard of this being done before, and maybe it has, Mark. But for the Iowa football program to have Kirk and Brian and Phil Parker and take the media and give them an idea as, you know, why they made this decision or why they're in this kind of formation. And I'm sure some of the stuff was off the record, as Trent pointed out, but just to allow you guys maybe to look behind the curtain. What a brilliant move.
This long negotiate after 2014, Kirk Ferentz and family, I think, hired Eileen Wickstead's PR firm. I think it's Wickstead Communications.
Yeah, Al Setka was the point person here, yes.
Al was the guy, and it was great meeting Al. Al works, he's communications manager, I think, for the city of Des Moines now.
Yes. One of them, right.
But, yeah, Al and Eileen kind of got in Kirk's ear on this and got the ball rolling and kind of made it happen. And I think it's, you know, the first 20 years of Kirk was you know, the media was held over here, and I asked him the question yesterday. You know, all along, his main, I think, objective has been trying to keep it from being a media circus a little bit. And in that regard, I understand. But the relationships get raw after 20 years, of course. And then have it, you know, thing like yesterday, they told us some of the why things are the way they are. Mostly it was pretty good X&O football with Phil Parker, who I would drink a beer with anytime.
Right.
And Brian Ferentz, who probably would drink several beers with anytime just because I couldn't keep up with the guy. He just listening to him talk yesterday, coaching is strategy and X and O and tactics and all that stuff. It just oozes out of him. It's fun. It's a high level of understanding it. And it's fun. It was fun yesterday to hear what Brian just automatically edits out and blows through. Because I think some football coaches can sometimes get caught up in the minutia and how things should be. He was like, no, we're skipping that part. We're going right to this. Mm. And so it's an economy of thinking, I think, with Iowa. And believe me, the complexity of what they do is and the variables, it was fascinating. And they kept saying football is an easy game, and then they would show us something that takes geometry. So I was like, okay, football's a simple game, I think. If you didn't flunk geometry.
Mark, you know football well. You've been covering it for a number of years. I know you played the game. You know football. I hear you and Doc geeking out on the podcast from time to time and start to get into the minutia of things. But this was an advanced course that you were able to take yesterday. What was the moment, if there was one, where you said, boy, I had that one completely wrong?
Listening to Phil talk about how Iowa sets its coverages. I've kind of ignored coverages in how I cover things, simply because I'm stuck to the TV picture. I see what you guys see.
Why is that linebacker trying to run down the field with that guy?
Where is that safety going? What is he rotating to? Is this cover A, cover 3, all that kind of stuff? I've kind of shifted, but that is about everything. That is tying the back end of your defense to the front end of your defense and making sure everything is gapped on and being able to cover all the space you need to cover. And then the best odds of where the ball might go, playing those odds. It was fascinating. And then recruiting, talking to Tyler Barnes about recruiting. And one of the things that he brought up, and I think it's fair to say that it's a bit of a bugaboo for the Iowa staff, you know, the programs that offer 900 kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's the effectiveness. Think about trying to be have effective communications with that many scholarship offers out. I thought that was a great
tough
point.
Yeah.
You know, every program has to do it their own way. Every program has its own philosophy. And I think programs like Nebraska in its second year with its head coach, you're going to spray and pray his scholarships a little bit. It was interesting to hear Iowa. Iowa is more focused on finding the right guys, blah, blah, blah. But they focus on building that relationship. And to me, I think that's why they don't put out as many scholarships.
Hmm. And Mark, I get the sense that there was that this never was even part of it. That, you know, if we do this, maybe we'll get better coverage of the program. Maybe so-and-so won't be as critical as hard. This was more of a, okay, we know you're going to criticize, but this is why we maybe made that decision, right? This wasn't an attempt to you guys to become more friendly with the program. Nothing to do with that.
No. Kirk was upfront about that, and he pretty much he has from day one. I mean, he knows he can't control what we write or think or what's on the internet, so I don't think he bothers with it too much. But, yeah, but yesterday they said up front, this is not a ploy to make you guys like us more, or, you know, they just kind of wanted to explain why Iowa football is the way it is. In that regard, I think it was mission accomplished.
So, Mark, you mentioned that you got to hear from Tyler Barnes, the recruiting coordinator, fresh off one of the most successful weeks that I can remember in recruiting for Iowa football in a very, very long time. They pick up, what, 8 different commitments over the week, not only in the 2020 class, but 2021 and 2022, a kid that had just completed his freshman year of high school.
Crazy.
Your takeaway with this, you're not breaking down high school film a whole lot, those types of things, but what does it say to you, all these commitments and maybe just the change that's happened in recruiting for Iowa football?
Well, I think that's significant, and to me, what recruiting was when I first started this 20 years ago, you know, the head coach and the assistant coaches kind of have their board, and the support staff is maybe extremely minimal, maybe just even sort of the administrative assistants taking calls. Now you have a staff, and now you have a strategy, and now you have defined areas and directives, and Coach Barnes' staff answering a series of questions. I'm going to say it was like 14 questions for every coach before they meet the kid, or before Coach Ferentz has his sit down, or has the moment where he pitches a scholarship. A lot goes into that. There's a lot of support staff. I mean, there are people finding out who the guy's girlfriend is. It goes, you know, girlfriend and school, and you know, one example that Tyler Barnes brought up, how the NFL does things. T.J. Hockenson, the Lions, the Lions or some NFL team got a hold of his elementary school teachers. So
wow,
that's how deeply football goes. Now, college, they can't do that. And one thing that you guys got kind of, who is the kid that Iowa just got for 2022? I know he's an Iowa kid, and the name
Graves, Adam Graves,
Adam Graves, a hockey player.
Aaron Graves.
But he, Barnes talked about that a little bit, in that about they're sensitive to offering kids that young. But he also kind of wrapped up that conversation. You know, if we offer a kid who's a freshman, he probably is not going to come here, because if he's getting these offers as a freshman, he's probably going to have some pretty big options. Mm. So it was interesting to hear where Iowa sits and kind of breaking down the weekend. I did tell, you know, that anytime you have a quarter, every time you have a recruit that you want to maybe have his name in the paper when he gets off the plane in Cedar Rapids, I can help you with that, Tyler. So maybe, I don't know, but I think Trent, you're right in recruiting. I think it's over, and the speed of which the recruiting game is going now. I was in that process. And one thing I did ask Tyler Barnes about quite a bit yesterday was the summer audition period. I think Iowa's terrific at it. You know, they found some running backs that they needed, and they've taken a shot at a few wide receivers and been lucky. Recruiting is 24/7, and I think the way they smart bomb things summer, Iowa does, I think they've had good luck. I mean, they still have Zach Van Valkenburg coming, who I think was kind of an off-season recruit, and you know, just the complexity and the relationships and everything that goes into it. College football teams are really kind of a miracle.
Mm.
Blows my mind all the factors that go into just all the stories that revolve around just getting to the game.
Mark Morehouse, Cedar Rapids Gazette, is our guest. Speaking of relationships, Nate Stanley is at the Manning Passing Academy. And just the guys that, it's one thing to be able to, you know, pick Peyton Manning or Eli Manning's brain. That's great. But to be in the same meetings and to hang around with, you know, a Trevor Lawrence or a Burrow or a Fromm or a Herbert, really, Bentley at South Carolina, the Costello at Stanford, the who's who of college quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence, just the fact that he's able to, you know, talk to these guys about, you know, what he's going through, what it's like at his program, just to be able to pick their brains. I'm sure he'll learn on the field, but maybe off the field as much. I think it's great that he's there, Mark.
Well, CJ Beathard went to this a few years ago, and when he came back, I remember asking him, you know, what was the upshot? And I remember Beathard coming back and talking about protections a lot and how quarterbacks call protections. And it sounds like to me that these guys get together and talk about the things that get them stuck or the things that the problems that they're the common problems that they all like to try to solve. And protections was it was protections for Beathard. I imagine it'll be interesting to see in that conversation if RPOs come up. I don't know if Staley's not going to be able to say very much on that one. Some other quarterbacks will.
Yeah, two is there. For an example, he's one of the guys. I mean, they're all there. It's a phenomenal list of quarterbacks. It really is.
When you have a quarterback on that list and you get him there, that means the expectations for your season are probably pretty good.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And a big chance here. You know, we talked a lot this summer about the schedule, the difficult nature of it. Five road games that are all going to be tough for Iowa this year, and a home slate that still includes the likes of Penn State, Purdue, who's had Iowa's number the last couple of seasons. Still, the talent top to bottom on this team. There's a lot of parallels to me to the conversation we were having a decade ago about Iowa football. Like the talent on the team, like the roster, don't like the schedule. Is the schedule, are we, in a way, maybe overrating how difficult this schedule is?
Yes.
I think the road games trying to keep me from totally agreeing with that point.
I'll give you that.
Sort of skew things. And then the crossovers, you know, Michigan and Penn State. That's a bad draw on the crossovers. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, every year that's a bad draw. But the year you get Maryland, Indiana, and I can't remember who else in 2015. I'm blanking. I'm sorry, but when you get the Animal House or the jug dish table at the frat where nobody's gonna get in. When you get that crossover group. Then you have a chance to go 12-0. The 12-0 I don't think is going to happen this year, and I think the schedule is a factor. And it sounds like Ken disagrees.
The road game, I'll give you the road games, Mark. It's a fair point. Right.
And there's five of them.
Yeah,
Right, and that's a big pull. I mean, when Iowa has Wisconsin and Northwestern on the road, that's a tough schedule. Mm-hmm.
And Nebraska.
We'll see on that one yet, but I think Nebraska's getting there. And at the end of the year, it will be a tough game, period, end of story. I don't care what the records are. Mm-hmm. But if I was serious about winning the Big Ten West, right now it's about Wisconsin and Northwestern and playing those two teams on the road.
Yep. Adrian Martinez.
Behind the eight ball on that.
Martinez is with Nate Stanley this week this week as well. Mark Moore. Is Purdue, last thing, Mark, is Purdue maybe not getting enough I keep coming back to Purdue. Brom's a witch. He's so good. And Sindelar's always hurt, so you can't count on him. But I keep coming back to this Purdue team. There's something about him.
Brom's a good coach, and he's not afraid to call the plays that he wants to play, wants to work. I think the Iowa game's a terrific example. The only thing Purdue really had going for in that game was the deep ball, and it won on the deep ball. It held on defense, literally. It held on defense. And you know what? The referees didn't call it. It was a brilliant game plan, and it worked. Brom has Iowa's attention. I can guarantee you that.
No doubt. Great stuff, Mark, as always. We will talk to you next week if your schedule allows. Thank you, Mark Morehouse.
You bet. You guys take care.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Mark Morehouse, Cedar Rapids Gazette. We'll all be together in 3 weeks.
3 weeks back to Chicago for you.
Indeed. Looking forward to it. We will take a timeout. Come back. Phil Steele. Yes, that Phil Steele of the Phil Steele College Football Preview. He'll join us in about 10 minutes. David Kaplan from Chicago, 1125. Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460.
States or situations. Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
This was one of the highlights. This was fantastic.
I can only imagine.
Oh, boy. 75 years old, Mick Jagger just comes in and just starts bouncing around. It's amazing. It's amazing.
I saw after he was coming back and getting ready for the tour.
Yeah.
Clips of him.
Training,
yeah. Uh-huh. Dancing around, scooting, shaking his hips.
Ronnie Wood, 72. Richard and Jagger, 75. And the drummer, Charlie Watt, is 78 years old. Not a lot of more opportunities to see these guys.
Very true. How much longer is the tour, do you know?
I don't, Trent. It was supposed to start months ago, but due to that heart scare that he had, it was the tour started on Friday night. By the way, Soldier Field, I'd never been there before.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
My wife thought the White Sox played there, by the way.
She wasn't really happy that you put that out on Twitter either.
Well, I'll say. I had no idea she's on Twitter.
Now you do. Be careful.
Yeah, I know she wasn't pleased at all. I heard about that. Anyways, but how can you let that one go, right?
It was good.
Well, he's here.
I got a chuckle. White
Sox? Yeah, honey, White Sox. but Soldier Field's really nice.
Yeah.
I was glad. It's weird. In what respect?
Just the structure, the way it looks, mm-hmm. from the old historic look with the pillars.
Well, that's on the museum, though, is it not?
Well, and that used to be a part of it.
Yes, right.
And now you got, they call it the spaceship, because uh-huh. it kind of what
yeah,
it looks like.
Yeah, it kind of does look like that. I want to see the museum.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
I've never been there to the museum, yeah.
I think that might be on, well, I'm not going to drag you and we're there in 3 weeks, but yeah. At some point I think I'll probably get over. Boy, it's a great city, Chicago.
Yeah.
It's such a spectacular
I don't get there
city.
Nearly as much as I used to, and mm-mm. I miss it. Yeah.
Miss getting
over there. Miss Wrigley. Even though I'm not a Cubs fan, I love that about
Wrigley, right?
Yeah.
I've never been to Guaranteed Rate Field.
Haven't missed much there.
No, I bet not. But Soldier Field was really, really cool. Hey, at some point, we don't have time now, because we've got Phil Steele in literally top of the hour. When we come back from the break, hopefully he'll be with us. The team on Iowa's schedule that I think is getting way more love than they maybe deserve. Do you know who that is?
No.
Penn State. I'm not sold on the Nits.
I'm with you. I don't like that team.
I mean, I get that when you hear the brand, they've got the brand, and look, Michigan probably wins the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Penn State, tap the brakes a little. We got a lot of time before now in September. We'll get into it. Phil Steele next, then Cappy, Miller, and Condon, 1460 KXNO.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.